good evening and hello. I'm Dr. Michelle Petacolis, your guide in the esoteric exploration of life, death, and transformation. Welcome to the last teleconference in the launch of my newly redesigned website, Secrets of Life and Death, and my new 10-session grief transformation program, Transforming Loss from Surviving to Thriving. The subject this evening is loss as an impetus for self-discovery. And this is actually perfect timing. I've been receiving notices from an astrologer about what's going on with the full moon, and we are in a turning point of the full moon and an eclipse. At the same time, this is astrology. I don't know if you know what any of this means. Pluto-Uranus square, and when we have the full moon, the sun and moon will both square the planet Neptune. If you know anything about astrology, squares are difficult times. We are in the midst of a breakdown which can lead to breakthrough if we are open to it. And that is part of my message this evening. Okay. Hold on. All right. So this should have been on already, but here we go. The first slide is the title page, and we're going to move to the next one. And you should see a dinosaur and a snake going over the cliff. Most of us have been brought up to believe that loss is a terrible thing, to be feared, worried about, resisted, and mourned. I'm here tonight to tell you that it can also be the best thing that ever happened to you. Just think back a moment about your own life, about any major losses, a job, a boyfriend or girlfriend, even a family member. Do you remember what happened? Did you survive? Did you learn anything? Thinking about loss as part of your life's journey, a wake-up call for necessary changes, doesn't always make it easier. But it does provide a positive and hopeful spin on what often feels like hopeless devastation. To illustrate the transformational power of loss, I'm going to share some examples from my own life journey. There have been four major life-changing losses in my life, actually probably more, but these are the most profound. All of them were pushing me towards something very different from what I was taught as a child. By the way, what you should have up on your screen is a picture of me at about 2 years old. In my childhood, I was taught to be a good girl, to do what I was told, to please others. I excelled at this, and for many years, it worked very well. The first big loss to shake my please-other philosophy of life happened in Minnesota. I was about 23 and at my very first full-time job after graduate school, teaching sociology at a Catholic college. Up until then, my role in life was to be a good student. I excelled at sussing out my teachers and figuring out what they wanted. I received high grades and honors. As a teacher, though, this strategy broke down. I simply could not please all of the students all of the time. Oh, and I tried so very hard. I signed up as the women's cross-country coach. I submitted to a voluntary teacher's evaluation program and dutifully applied their suggestions. I even, perhaps unadvisedly, designed a new course, the Sociology of Human Sexuality, at a Catholic college. Perhaps the showing of pornographic films and discussing birth control in my class was a bit over the top. Without warning, I received a non-renewable contract for my third year. Basically, they were giving me the boot. Okay, clearly I did not fit in. But this awareness did not prevent me from getting very sick and very depressed as I struggled to finish out the semester. And how did I deal with this big loss? This loss of my dream as a college professor? The undermining of my most cherished understanding of how to succeed in life? I ran away. I did not even go back for that last contract year. I ran all the way to Las Vegas, Nevada. After those Minnesota winters, I needed to warm up. Running away is actually a common response to loss. Some people get hyper-busy at work. Others replace loss with a new relationship or an eating binge or excessive drinking or drugs or moving away like I did. Anything that distracts us from the pain. The problem with this response is that the message of loss, its true purpose in our life story, is missed. We are wounded, and we do everything to ensure that we are not wounded again. I was wounded, and I did everything to ensure that I was not wounded again. Everything but what I really needed to do. And I shut down a part of myself in the process. So here's a map of what happened next. You can see college down at the corner and then Indiana. That's where I went to graduate school and got married. And then there's the teaching in Minnesota. And then at the bottom, Las Vegas. And there's me teaching, I changed professions. I became a house parent for troubled teenage girls with my husband, who I married, as you see, back in graduate school. I guess I thought if I shared the job, I'd be less likely to lose it. Or maybe I would simply share the pain when we did. Well, it didn't work. The job was the ultimate in not allowing me to be myself because there was no downtime, no time off. We played house parents 24/7. Not really a viable model. Eventually, the truth of who we really were emerged, and the bad fit became all too apparent. So we moved on to Arizona and the Navajo Reservation, where we ran another group home. This one fortunately came with time off, but living in an alien environment, and you think Navajo Reservation, United States, let me tell you, it's a whole nother reality. Anyway, we didn't quite fit in there, and eventually the strain began to take its toll. After 4 years, which I'm telling you is a long time for a house parent, we moved to Santa Fe to see if the organization could use us there. That was where the central headquarters was. After 3 months in limbo of not knowing what was going to happen to us, I got a promotion. My husband got fired. He was just turning 40. This resulted in my next big loss, my marriage. And this was a big one. I couldn't grasp it. I tried everything to hold on, to find the missing ingredient, to be pleasing, the good girl. It didn't work. We were no longer a fit. This time I ran back home, all the way back to New York, back to family, to safety, to what I knew. This is another typical response to loss. We go back to the safest, safe place. The place we last felt we were okay. And we shut down the adventurer inside. We could become smaller for fear of the loss happening again. However, something was beginning to change inside. Before I moved back to New York, I signed on with a Sufi teacher in New Mexico and started to learn a different way of being in the world. It's interesting how the universe kind of brings us teachers when we need them. This being was based on heart instead of mind. For the first time, I started to learn about myself and about what I wanted. The first thing I did was to stop holding on to my husband. I let him go. I could see we were no longer a fit. I could see how miserable our life was. The second thing I did was to quit my job. The job in which I was promoted. And then I turned down another job because that was also a bad fit. I learned that I could say no. I didn't have to be the good girl. I began to ask myself what I wanted to do. When I was in New York, I tried a lot of different things. I did temp work and I got into video production. Notice the temp work, low risk of being fired. I was beginning to learn, but I still had a lot further to go. I also moved around a lot. You can see the little suitcases over there above the mouse. I moved around a lot, living light and free. Each summer, going off to Sufi camp, there's the belly dancer over there. That was part of it. I discovered dance, Middle Eastern dance. It was a lot of fun. This lifestyle, unfortunately, made it very difficult to get a career going in video. Every summer, I would go away, and by the time I returned, all my connections were lost. I convinced myself that spirituality was more important than career, but I felt an uneasiness inside. I wanted both, and I felt guilty. In many ways, I think I was doing the same thing I had always done, but instead of trying to please a boss or my students or my husband, it was my Sufi teacher. This went on for 11 years. Then two things happened. I got into a new relationship, and my parents died. Was there a connection? Maybe they were worried about me and waiting for me to finally have a new relationship. Anyway, the new relationship took me all the way to the West Coast. Turning points do not always have to be caused by losses. However, I realized that I needed help with this new relationship if it was going to survive. I knew I had issues. So I enrolled in a profound 13-week personal transformation program. And then my parents did die. It was a shock. Not that it was unexpected. My father had Alzheimer's and my mother had metastatic breast cancer. What shocked me was the impact of their dying, the emotion, and being so unprepared. I decided I would make a documentary about facing death. This was in the 1990s. This was in the late 1990s, even before Bill Moyers made his film about dying. I had never made a documentary, but their deaths gave me courage. I mean, I think once you look at death, you realize you have nothing to lose, and you're wasting your time if you don't get on with what you're here to do in life. I wanted to change the way people think and deal with death. My loss would be someone else's gain. It was also a very effective way of handling my own grief. It gave meaning and purpose to the loss. Instead of running away this time, I went towards it. I joined hospice and met some amazing people in the process. It was a rich time. I supported myself by working part-time as a legal secretary. I was content. It didn't matter that this work wasn't my passion. It seemed enough to be doing it on the side. But once again, loss intervened to change my life. The stock market crashed, and my cushy part-time legal job ended, my fourth big loss. At first, I was elated. I had unemployment coming in. I was working on my third documentary full-time. I envisioned a rosy future of speaking engagements and DVD sales. Unfortunately, it did not manifest as quickly as I hoped. And we bought a house, my new husband and I. I panicked. Unemployment was running out. How was I going to be able to make the mortgage payments to support myself? I started a job search, and I couldn't find one that was right. I knew I did not want to go back to being a legal secretary. Just the thought of it made me sick. I wanted to make films, to lead workshops on dying, to help people with their grief. But how to make it work? As if by magic, the magical marketer appeared and, like a fairy godmother, promised me my heart's desire. "I will make you love your marketing," she told me. "How?" I asked. "You will market from the heart. You will embrace your true self and attract your perfect customers." Beneath this promise was a belief in the law of attraction. By being my true authentic self, by doing what I loved most, I would attract those who were truly attracted to me. No deception, no hype, just being. I could have a successful business? Yes, she assured me. It was heady stuff. It resonated. I wanted it to be true. I began studying with her and began to sell my DVDs. Coincidence? I wish I could say that I transformed instantly, but that was not the case. I was constantly attacked. I was constantly attacked by gremlins. Could I really believe this stuff? Was I kidding myself? Was I being a fool? It took me nearly 2 years and much coaching before I hired the magical marketer to revamp my website, to have my website branded from my heart. It was a rocky ride. Gremlins were everywhere. Many times I thought I had made the biggest mistake in my life, but finally the new website was born. And what do we see? A very revealing website. It shows my passion for dance, my love of mystery, my playfulness, and my exuberance. Oh, no. Will my DVD academic buyers still buy my DVDs? This was what my website looked like before. Not bad, but it doesn't show anything about me. Oh, my gosh. What a risk. The new site shows my dancing. It shows magical symbols in my veil. It shows my cartoon characters, my favorite words, my favorite colors. It's a process, this embracing my true self. So many years of pleasing others and squashing myself. The gremlins often return. I'm beginning to learn how to tame them. I have learned some very important things over the course of these many losses of my life about how to understand them and how to use them for self-development. Here, in a nutshell, is what I've learned. This just came to me. Allow loss to serve. It's an acronym. S is for surrender. Breathe in, breathe out. Whatever is, is. Profound grief, such as losing someone very close, getting a life-threatening diagnosis, being laid off, not only affects our emotions, it can have a physical impact as well. When your whole world is decimated, it takes time for the mind and body to adjust. You need to surrender to this process. Fighting, resistance, running away like I did only delays the adjustment process. We need to be kind to ourselves, to have compassion. E is for explore. Be curious about your situation, even in the worst of it. Why is this happening? Everything that happens has significance for the development of spirit. There are no accidents. This is what I believe. Loss is part of the plan for transformation. Ask, what am I supposed to learn? If it were a dream, and everything in the dream reflects some part of ourselves, what does it mean? Surrendering helps us to let go of the struggle and opens the space for us to go deep inside and find the answers. R is for reframe or revise. There is nothing new in our loss. Our reactions, our feelings are all familiar. Underneath is the same story. Our issues keep showing up until we learn what we are supposed to learn. Like me, trying to please others. It didn't work in Minnesota. It didn't work in my marriage. It didn't even work with my Sufi teacher. Trust in yourself, the spiritual being within who is really running the show. Reframing is about creating a different story about what's going on, seeing the pattern of your life and starting to change it. V is for vision. You have to have some idea of where you want to go, how it could be better. There's a wonderful story about caregiving by Terry Nichols. She's caring for both her parents. Her father is dying. Her mother is in victim mode, totally depressed. Every morning, Terry comes down the stairs and meets a depressing mom. Finally, she decides to practice what she preaches, to create and attract a different vision. Each morning before coming downstairs, she envisions the happy mom. And one morning, yep, she comes down and her mother has transformed and is happy. Even her sister was surprised. "What happened to Mom?" she said. Terry smiled. It also happened to me. In Sufi camp, or before Sufi camp, I was getting tired of all the superficial relationships in my life. Sufi camp doesn't encourage relationships. So I envisioned what I really wanted. I wrote it down, and then it made a decision to stop accepting what I didn't want. And then I waited. 2 weeks later, my husband-to-be came into my life. Have a vision. And the final letter, E, this second E, is to engage or embody, to bring into being your vision by thoughts and deeds. What do you need to do to help realize this vision? And this opens up a whole nother can of worms. How do you engage? But we won't go into that. What I've also learned is two things. Get support for your transformation. You cannot do this alone. We all have blind spots. We need someone to be our mirror, to show us our backside. All the major advancements in my life and worldview came through the wise guidance of trained others. Choose someone you're attracted to. That's how you know. This is the person you want to study with. Transformation comes much quicker when you have help. And the other thing is, invest in yourself. You're worth it. Think of money as currency. It needs to flow or it gets stopped up. It's also energy. We direct that energy towards the areas in our lives we wish to grow and develop. It's like water on a plant, and the energy returns as we grow. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to open up the question-answer queue. Hold on, I'm going to stop screen sharing for a moment. Does anybody out there have a question? You can raise your hand by hitting star 6. See, it only took me a half hour to do this. I have some other stuff to go over, but I would like to invite some questions about what I've shared, if you have any. And here we go. Hello. You're on 707. Area code 707.
Hello. That's me, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi. I didn't have a question per se, but when you went through the serve, excuse me, and talked about vision.
Yes.
I studied a little bit and went to a workshop with Shakti Gawain on visualization.
Uh-huh.
And and I basically did the same thing that you did and visualized what I wanted and then, you know, I wrote it all down, and then later I went back and looked at it when I met my true love, and it was all there.
It was all there.
Yeah.
It was all there. Yep.
Yeah.
It's very powerful. It's the law of attraction and the power of attention. Yeah. It's great. Thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything to say, any comments, anything else you want to talk about in terms of what I shared? Any sharing about your own losses in life and what you learned from them? Okay. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to talk to you, give you a few words about my 10-session coaching program. I have a special going right now until the end of the month on my 10-session coaching program. I'm sorry, I'm like slurring my words. If you are already interested or have been interested and are hesitating, this is the time to act. You can save up to $100. If you don't know me and my work, you can sign up for a complimentary consultation. This offer is also good until the end of the month. What does this program provide? Well, guidance through the 5 steps of SERVE. I start with where you are, and we move forward together addressing your most primary life needs. The things that came up around your loss. Is it health? Difficulty concentrating? Are you overwhelmed? Despaired? Receiving support and guidance. Receive the support and guidance you need. We look at life just as I shared mine, as a life story, as a map of the spirit, a hero's journey. In the process, we discover your life lessons, what really makes you tick, and the life purpose hidden beneath a lifetime of compromise or playing small. And together, we rewrite the story of loss into the story of transformation. And in the process, uncover the real person and the real purpose of your life. And of course, this is just the beginning. It's a lifelong process doing this. You can sign up by going to www.secretsoflifeanddeath.com/grief-transformation-special. That's to sign up and get the special for the coaching. Or look for the link at the bottom of the prizes and gifts page. I will send you the link at the end of the call. In other words, I will send you the link when I send you the link to this call. Now I would like to put on the screen sharing again and show you the prizes page and see what there is. So let's see if this screen sharing works and I don't have to go and download everything again. Okay. I hope this is working. And oh, I know. Huh. Okay, so here's my website. I hope you can see it. And what we have here are, well, you've been through the 3 teleconferences. We have a special drawing for 1 set of the Secrets of Life and Death film series with exploration guides. This has a $275 value. You can do your own self-exploration with this, both in facing death, in caregiving, and in grieving. It's quite a complete and wonderful package. The exploration guides came from years of doing workshops and presentations all over the Bay Area. Another offer is 10 single DVDs from the Secrets of Life and Death series. I'm actually going to offer one free tonight at the end of this call, so I hope you hang in there. There's also a 45-minute forgiveness coaching session with Eileen Barker. Eileen has appeared at my 2 Dying Well 6-part series in San Francisco and now in Walnut Creek. And she is a very good forgiveness coach, and she's offering 45-minute free session. And finally, there's an introductory dream and healing 1-hour phone consultation with Lael Gold. She was our speaker on the last teleconference, and she's the CEO of Productive Slumber. Special gifts. There is my 10% discount on Transforming Loss from Surviving to Thriving coaching package. Eventually, there's going to be a link to the page, so you can go directly from there to the sales page. And also here, you can schedule a complimentary exploration session. You can get Essentials for Grieving Well, but of course you can get it up here too. And you do have to sign in for that separately in order to activate the emails that support the guide. And finally, there's a breath manifestation meditation recording that I made, which I should have started this call with. I could have used that. And then from Path of Forgiveness, which is Eileen Barker, she's offering a 5-minute forgiveness tool, a Walking the Path of Forgiveness ebook, which is a very good workbook for helping you if you have forgiveness issues. And finally, Healing Your Life After Cancer Through Forgiveness, and this is an audio. And then from the Laughter Academy, 10 Secrets to Finding Your Inner Happiness, it's a guide, and Bandages from Your Heart DVD. You'll have to scroll down to find this item. It's being offered for $1 plus shipping, and this is just chock full of great material. And finally, from Productive Slumber, a really great dream reentry guide for those of you who are fond of dreaming. It's called Your Dream Take Two. So if you click on these links, you can get these free gifts. So that is what we have to offer for the launch. And they're all available, and I will send you the link to this page because it's rather hard to find it. In fact, you can't find it because only people who are signed up for the launch can get this, so people can't get it on the website themselves, although you can maybe see the top. It's a long email address, so I will send it to you. Are there any other people who would like to share? Or, you know, we still have a lot of time. We could end early. I think I maybe gave my presentation too fast. Any questions about this process of treating loss as a vehicle for change? I'm going to turn off the screen sharing again so I can see the console. Larry, are you on again?
I'm still here.
Do you have any other comments? You're on my caller's queue still.
I came back into the call queue.
Great.
I am a hospice volunteer, and I've actually seen one or two of your presentations at some of our hospice groups, and they're just phenomenal, and so are you as a speaker. And I guess I'm not really working with a loss, except that I'm wanting to do more with the hospice end of it, and talking about death and dying with people and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking about signing up for your I think it's a half an hour conference call or something like that to find out what's going on, what to do, and that sort of thing.
The half hour consultation. Yes, by all
right.
means, do that. Yes, and you'll find, if you click on that, you'll find a link to my scheduler, and you can do that, and we can talk about that.
Okay, and then if I was to, you know, like yesterday's package included those. If I gave presentations on hospice, could I use those videos in my presentations and stuff? I mean, I don't charge for them. They're just pre-workups.
Right, I understand. And if you
talk
pay
about that?
The full amount for instead of, if you paid the full amount, and I don't have it up yet, but I will provide, I have to create that sales page, but I will, the full set is $275. If you pay that price, actually, you could buy that right now on the on my regular sales page and take the library option and buy them for $275, and that comes with public performance rights. So you would be able to do that as long as you didn't charge anything.
Oh, okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's. I might just do that, but I want to talk with you first, and that's why I was wondering.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. Yes, eventually I'm going to be making available the series to home users as a exploration, just like the thing that I offered is the free prize. I'm going to be offering that for sale for people. And I will let everybody know when that's up. I just I've been too busy to work on that, but it'll be there. So thank you, Larry, for asking. I have a few more callers. So
I was the one that was sending you emails about your website too. I don't know whether you remember.
Yes, thank you so much helping me out. I really appreciate that. I think we slowed down that testimonial thing, but we
still because that was making the whole thing jump.
Oh, I know. It was terrible and you know, it still needs to be adjusted. But thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay.
Okay. So the next caller is Anonymous Bet. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Hello, who are you looking for?
That must be you, because you're the only one unmuted.
Well, I'm the only one unmuted.
Bet.
Yeah, well, Michelle, this is Ron again.
Ron.
And I'm just going to share a little bit, okay?
Great, we have the time.
All right, this has just been... one hell of a year.
I'm sorry to hear that, Ron.
Let me just catch my breath here.
You bet.
Practicing Buddhist, I'm fully aware everything in this world is impermanent. In February, 13-year-old niece killed instantly by a drunk driver. Crushed the family. I somehow or another managed to be strong and supportive for my 86-year-old mother and rest of the family. And so I come home, and this is where the story may sound a little odd. Maybe not. Two old dogs in the house. One of them I adopted when she was 2 months old, 15 years ago. The other, my wife adopted 18 years ago when it was a puppy. The dogs just took a real turn for the worst, and we had to make first the hardest decision I've ever made. And we had a vet come to the house, beautiful service, the 15-year-old, who I don't remember ever being in this house alone without her. We lost her. 9 days later, the 18-year-old. And the pain is just palpable.
Yep, yep. It is. It is. And that's, it affects you on a physical as well as an emotional level. And it's going to take some time.
I have just never felt this before.
Yep, yep.
Not for any human. I mean, I've had human losses in my life, job losses, all those other things that you talked about, deaths in the family. But the loss of this friend... It's just
big.
Big.
Yep. It's big. It's there's something very important underneath this. It's happening to really wake you up and make you pay attention to something. And when you get you have to give yourself time though, because the initial impact, emotional impact, takes a while for your body to adjust to. It's a shock. It's a real big shock.
Yeah. Even though we knew it was coming, I mean, we could see the dogs were growing old, and we knew they were having issues, and you know, we talked about it, and we needed to prepare ourselves, this is all very recent. The first dog was May the 6th. The second dog, 9 days later. Ironically, when the vet came to the house for the second service, the ashes of Augie arrived that afternoon. And just as I was getting ready to get onto this phone call, the doorbell rings and the ashes of the second dog are being delivered. Mm. And I'm just feeling just crushed. Confused and crushed. And my wife's about to come home. I need to try to be strong for her because she's going to see Bijou's ashes. And
Yeah. Ron?
Yeah.
I really encourage you to go ahead and sign up for one of my complimentary consultations because I think you may need a little more private time for talking about this, if that would serve you.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And we can talk in more detail, but, you know, without all these other people listening in, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
I'll do that.
Great. Okay, thank you for calling, and thank you for sharing your loss, because you really bring it, you know, I mean, I tend to be a little playful and a little comical in all of this, and yet I know that underneath this is very deep stuff. Very important stuff.
Yeah, my wife found your website. She's part of a women's group here in the Bay Area. I don't think you two know each other personally. I asked her that, and she says you might want to, you know, participate in this conference call and maybe find some help.
Great, great. Well, you go ahead and sign up for. I will be sending links out so that you can find your way to.
All right, thanks, Michelle.
For that. Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, you take care, and I will be talking.
All right.
Okay. And now I have a caller from 845. Hello?
Yeah, I think it's my call. Michelle, it's Sandra.
Sandra, hi.
Hi.
You're breaking up a little bit. I guess that's Skype.
Okay,
we'll make the best of it.
Right.
We're not doing very well with that, are we?
Oh, okay. Well, is that any better?
Nope.
Nope, can't hear
you. You sound very musical, though.
Well, I dance a lot, right. Shall I continue talking? Are you able to make it out? I do want to make more. I want to know more about when you say the magical world between worlds, so with death and dying. I don't know enough about that, and I don't know enough about the law of attraction.
Okay, good question.
And I have been working with a Buddhist counselor for the past few years, and I have learned about trying to get the mind to stop and to be giving it to my body, which has been a challenge, and I understand that's where we can achieve a lot of change. But could I sign up for a half hour of consultation? When I hear people talking about the law of attraction and how, and you yourself have, you know, were very, very positive about it working. I would certainly like to hear more about it.
Yes, yes. Well, it's an interesting thing. One of the things that you have to remember about the law of attraction is that underneath is your spirit's journey. That is, if you conceive of yourself as a spiritual being having a human adventure, your spirit has its own agenda, what it's here for, and we don't always remember what that is because as we go through life, we get distracted by the material world and the plans and desires of other people, and so we get distracted and we forget. Probably very soon after we get born and start getting socialized, we forget why it is that we're here. And yet the spirit underneath continues to remember that. So the purpose for the, you know, the meditation and the quieting of the mind is to help us tap into the spirit within inside, to hear the intelligence that's in there that gives us guidance. Now that spirit, as I said, has its own agenda. So sometimes when we want to make the law of attraction work, which is to, like I had given the example of writing down what I wanted in the way of a relationship, of deciding I was no longer going to accept anything less than a deep and meaningful relationship, I set in motion something that was actually appropriate for my spiritual journey. If that was not consistent with my spiritual journey, it wouldn't manifest, or it might manifest in a different way that was consistent.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, there are people who try and use the law of attraction to, you know, to attract a Mercedes-Benz or to attract large amounts of money. But if it isn't really to the purpose of the spirit, it's not necessarily going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Does that help a little bit?
It helps a little bit. Yes, it does, because I am just recognizing that the spirit brought me to a special workshop meeting where I really could feel the love like I have never felt it about myself before.
Ah, yes.
And yeah, and
yes.
I think I want another relationship. My husband died 20 years ago. I had a 13-year relationship with the man whom it was my teenager being locked in with him, and it was I didn't know how to get out of it. I was fearful. I gave up relating to my daughter and grandkids for choosing him.
Wow.
And I have regrets to this day about that. And we have finally, you know, separated 3 years ago. And I feel I've grown tremendously. I can really feel I'm lovable. And I understand from what you're saying, and now my spirit may not see that or think I'm ready for it.
For another relationship. You won't know until you try it out, until you kind of get clear. But you need to really be very clear about what it is that you want. It might be right at the right time.
Uh-huh.
And certainly the meditation practice helps.
You need to be clear about what I want.
Yes, you need to be clear.
What kind of a person, the qualities?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Everything. Envision it. You know, create it. They often talk about creating a vision board, which is to, you know, create a collage of the characteristics that you want. Be very specific. You know, do you want this person to be part-time? Do you want them to move in with you? Do you want them to have a life of their own, or to think that you're like the you know, most important thing in existence? You know, what are you comfortable with? Because we all have different ideas about what it is that we need.
Okay.
Before I attracted my husband, I attracted a relationship with a man in which I only saw him once a week. And that's what I thought I wanted, because I was very embroiled in the Sufi work. I wanted to go away for a summer for 3 months at a time, and I wanted somebody who was not so attached to me that could allow me to do that.
So
I attracted that person, and then I realized that wasn't what I wanted, you know, so I tried that out for a while, and I said, no, this isn't going to work. Actually, I'm ready for something deeper. I'm tired of these superficial relationships. I think my spirit and my self-growth will benefit from a deeper relationship. And so I sat down and I wrote down exactly what I wanted. And I wanted somebody who had his own life project. In other words, I didn't want somebody who was going to be a video person. I was afraid that that was going to overshine me, you know, that I would just fall into that role of being the helpmate instead of being my own person. And so that's what I tried.
I am my trouble, but I know that my I'm in my mid-80s, and I know that men in their mid-80s are not TV watchers, or and they don't have a life of their own and interests. I guess I'm feeling that if this is to happen, that age is not something that I should be concerned about.
Right.
And I shouldn't panic because I'm in my mid-80s and God knows it doesn't happen now. When is it going to happen?
Right. I know. I can understand that, you know, that the gremlins will get in there and say, oh, you're too old. There's no way you're ever going to find anybody. But that's not necessarily true. People find other people at all ages.
Right.
I think the most important thing for you to do is
yeah.
to focus on things that you love, to go and do the activities. After you've written down and created your vision of what it is that you want to attract, then you
yeah.
go back and do the things that really make you happy. If the person that you want to bring into your life is somebody, and let me tell you, relationships are a spiritual practice. You have
yes.
to work on them. They are not easy. They,
yep.
they're not. Some people and plenty of people go into relationships because they want that person to complete them. But
no,
that's rarely the spiritual, the spirit's journey.
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to have that opportunity to have
the complimentary consultation.
Yes, I certainly
okay.
would.
So I will be sending the link to the gifts page, and you can in that on the gifts page will be a link to setting up a complimentary call. Okay.
And that will come to me on an email from you.
I'm going to be, of course, sending you all a link to this teleconference.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I will send you a link to the gifts page because all of you have been signed up.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for your question.
I understand the law of attraction
a little bit better.
More. Right, I do.
Great.
Oh, again, I thank you, Michelle.
You're so welcome, Sandra. Okay. Does anybody, we have just a few more minutes left, have any questions or want to get in any comments before I wrap up this evening's talk? Well, I want to thank you all for joining me and participating in this launch program. And I thank all of you who showed up at the Emboldened Heart presentation teleconference yesterday and for listening to me race through my presentation today. I hope you enjoyed the illustrations. And if you were one of the people who did not get the illustrations, I hope that you were able to download the PDF. I will be sending a link to that again. I am going to pick one person from our live participants to receive one of my DVD films. And you're going to need, when I pick this person, and I'm going to just kind of randomly do this, when I pick this person, you either need to hit *6 and let me know who you are, or you can send me an email and say, I was the one you picked. So let's see. I'm going to, how many people are on this call? One. Okay, so I'm going to think of a number from 1 to 14. Okay, I've thought of the number 5, so it's going to be 845-256-5502. If you want to raise your hand and identify who you are, please do that, 245. There you are. Hello?
Hello, it's Sandra.
Oh, you! It's Sandra. Oh my
hey.
Gosh! What a funny thing. Okay, Sandra, I've got your email.
You've never won anything before,
huh? You've never won anything before.
No.
Well, look at that. Okay, so Sandra, what I would like you to do is to go to my website sometime in the next few days and look at the trailers to my films and decide which film you would like.
Go to the website. Will you send that?
Go to my website. You are on the internet, right? You can go to my website, and there under the film, on the film button, the film tab, click the film tab, and you'll see the trailers, and you can look at all the trailers. Okay, so that's it.
Okay.
I will. Congratulations, Sandra. Okay, so thank you again for joining me. I will be contacting finalists for the drawings within the next week, which will be any of you who are on the call and any of the other people who have signed up for the launch and will be listening to this conference call later. You all have a very, very wonderful evening, and don't forget to breathe. Take care now.